spring of living water is within. Where can I go from thy spirit? Where can I flee from thy face? Psalms 139:7. When we fear an idea, we cause it to condense so that it might be seen with the physical eye. Then we identify ourselves with the result and believe it to be a reality with all its horrible characteristics we produce in our minds. An idea in the mind becomes active. When we create an idea about any particular part of the body, whatever it may be, we cause an activity in the cell structure of the brain associated with that part of the body, and impulses are sent through the nervous system to that area, reproducing the idea. That is, when we fear an idea, we cause it to condense so that it might be seen with the physical eye. Job said, "What I feared came upon me." There is power within us that is creative. And if we hold the ideas that are false, then we will find them being reproduced. But you will see that these things are false. They have no existence in reality. They don't exist in God. They don't exist in life. But we create the idea, then we fear the idea and produce the idea because we fear it. Why do we fear it? Because we concentrate upon it. And we become consciously aware of the idea in the mind and it begins to reproduce itself. It is quite easy to understand there. For instance, in experiments that I used to carry out quite some time ago upon these things about thought and the activities of thought, and a person was put into a suggestive state. Now, here was a cold piece of steel, and you say, here is a red hot iron. You put it on the hand, the cold piece of steel, and feel the pain with the great idea that it is burning them. Take the cold steel away, and there is a burn on the hand. How does that blister come on the hand? It comes on the hand because of the idea in the mind. Transformed the brain through the brain cells, the active principle in the brain cells have the nerve active right on that particular piece of skin and reproduces there a blister from a cold piece of steel. It was the idea that was condensed through the process I have shown you. Matter and mind are the same. If you want me to trace matter back to the source, you will see it comes from a substance that is invisible. Matter that we know of is nothing more than atoms. Little whirlpools of energy. These little whirlpools of energy are brought into form to create and build the idea that is the divine idea. The divine idea is always the perfect idea, but man interferes with the divine idea and therefore creates for himself the false. But if he knew that the divine idea was perfect in itself, he would leave it alone. But he doesn't. Now, matter we know of then can be dissolved back into that substance which we know as atomic substance. It can go further still. It can go back to that what we call intelligence, because energy cannot exist without direction. And energy is intelligence in action. Take it back further and you will see that it is mind, substance, a substance in itself that is perfect. There is no flaw in it. You can call it the mind of God if you like. And it must be so, because God being infinite in nature, there can be no other substance but His. Being infinite in nature, there can be no other consciousness but His. Being infinite in nature, there can be no other livingness but His. This substance being perfect in itself without a flaw, because it is, it's the substance out of which everything has been created, even the bodies. Consciousness and life is a creative principle. The idea is created by the creativeness of the infinite, infinite creativeness that comes into operation. And then it becomes active in this perfect substance. And as the substance comes into form, the etherons, which are interpenetrating the atoms, form up, and the atoms then become formed further later and reduced and condensed. And the idea becomes condensed in what we call matter, and it's reproduced now as the divine idea perfect. The substance is perfect in itself. The intelligence that created it out of that substance existed before the body was formed, and will exist after the body is dissolved away into the substance out of which it was created. So you see that life existed first, before the body was created. It created the body out of the substance. And after the form becomes perfect in itself, then, and after it has been used according to the divine plan, then it dissolves back into the substance of which it was created. But life remains the same. Life existed before. Life will exist after. That was why Jesus said, before Abraham, I am. Abraham was the form, the name, the form. But I am was before Abraham. I am was the life. So the life existed before Abraham, and the life of you and me existed before Abraham, because there can be no division in life. There can be no division in substance. I want to draw this to you now so that you will understand what I am going to say later on. We must discern what we are doing. See how we are formulating in our minds the things that destroy our health and happiness. Then we will see that the only power these formulations have is the power we give to them. Matter does not create, for matter is the expression of mind and action. By our ignorance, we have closed our eyes to the creative power of the living spirit, the Christ within, and in which lies the creative force of the visible natural world, including mankind. And by him everything came into being, and nothing came into being except by him. Showing clearly that the one spirit is not divided, that the spirit alone, one spirit, the word that was in the beginning, was with God, and that word was God. And naturally then, that perfect form is now existing in man. Some will ask then, how is a child born in such and such conditions? Because the parents before has the cause of it. They existed in the flesh. The malformation in the seed was that material that was built up, and through that the child was born. The life itself within the child, no matter whether the form is wrong, the life is perfect in itself. And as the form dissolves away, the physical structure dissolves back into the substance, that all that is form has dissolved away. And life then is perfect, because consciousness alone is life. Now you think that your happiness comes from external to yourselves. You're wrong. Happiness comes from the realization of the truth that you are not separated in any way from the infinite life. Happiness comes from within. Now, a lot of people will blame other people outside themselves for their conditions. We are conditioned. Naturally, we are conditioned. Everybody is conditioned. But if you want freedom, you cannot blame anyone outside yourselves. Otherwise, you can never be free. Freedom comes from within. It's your thought, feeling, reaction that causes yourself to be bound up. What is your thought, feeling, reaction? You will notice clearly and distinctly. If you then are caught up, are conditioned in any way, your thought, feeling, reaction will be according to your conditioning, because you'll be expressing your conditioning. But if you recognize your thought, feeling, reaction, in the moment, it will fall away. You'll not be caught up in it. Now, think what your thought, feeling, reaction is. Think of it. Somebody says something to you, something about you. You get wild, go into a temper, and so forth. Why do you go into temper? Because somebody said something about you. But supposing they did, what did it matter? If you were free, you wouldn't react. It is because you are not free you react. Now you blame the other person for your trouble, don't you? You blame the other person because you got into a rage and you fell down, you had a stroke, and you did all these things, and you were in hospital and the rest of it, and you blame the person outside for this. But it is not so. It is your thought, feeling, reaction that caused all the difficulty. Jesus, when he was on the cross, he knew perfectly clearly in his own mind that he could not in any way condemn any person. Neither could he be annoyed at what they were doing to him, because he said, "Forgive them, for they know not what they do." He was not conditioned by that thing. Now, think how you are conditioned when anybody says something about you. Why? Because you're trying to protect your conditioning. That's all. So therefore, we've got to see that our freedom comes from within and not from without. So if any person says anything to you and you react, you must discern your thought, feeling, reaction, and then you will understand your conditioning and will drop away from it. Then you will not have strokes, you will not have this, and you will not have that. For instance, a very great friend of mine died on Sunday, became very sick. I went up to see him. He was lying in bed. The doctor said he couldn't live. Well, I treated him there and then, and he got better. It was his heart. He went for a holiday right away down to Durban. He came back and he was completely well. When he came back, the doctor saw him and they said his heart is perfect. Now, play the bagpipes. So he lent his pipes to someone. And you know what a Scotsman is with his pipes. So he did something to his pipes. Anyway, he went into a violent temper and he fell down on the floor. A few minutes later, he was paralyzed down one side. He was taken away to the hospital and he died. Now, he didn't die of heart failure. He died because of that temper. He committed suicide. Absolutely committed suicide. That's all he did. He killed himself with his temper. I'm going to his funeral tomorrow, and I'm going to be one of the pallbearers. Not that I care about the funeral. The funeral means nothing to me, but they expect me to go, and therefore I go. But as a matter of fact, I always think the dead bury the dead. But nevertheless, I want to show you this most important thing, how you can be caught up, how you can commit suicide. Therefore, by understanding our thought, feeling, reaction, we realize that we have our happiness or misery in our own hands. If this is deeply understood now, we have an immediate release of much of the suffering of the world that is happening in the world today. In the general conception among most people, and even with those who should know better, the cause of disease lies in the body. That's what most people think. But Jesus showed this to be wrong. We have set up standards of our own in regard to causes of ill health and happiness, our rights, wrongs, and the conditions of the world in general. We look upon these conditions as being external to ourselves. But as soon as we see that the cause is within ourselves, our attitude changes. Only then can we be freed from these things. Everybody says in the world today, look at the world is in a mess. Yes, the world's in a mess because you're in a mess. Because the world is you and me. What we see external to ourselves is what's happening within ourselves. The outer always becomes what the inner is. The inner becomes the outer. And if you look into your own hearts and minds, you will see the cause of the strife in the world is in ourselves. There is a struggle going on. There is hate, there is envy, there is separations, there is different religions, different political groups, different nationalities, all battling with one another. This is what's happening everywhere. Economics, nationalism, religion, groups, all these things are separation, and therefore separation is the cause of all the misery in the world today. By our belief that these things have a power outside ourselves, we ignorantly sustain them because we fail to understand ourselves. We must realize that happiness does not depend on the external world, that lies within ourselves. It is only when we see that the effects which bring about unhappiness are from ignorant directions given to the mind and which we embrace, do we begin to understand the cause of our misery. Now think of the ignorant directions that are given to the mind every day. You go to one particular society, one particular group. One is talking about the other. Then it comes to individuals. It's the same. You go to church on Sunday. Somebody will have a new hair. That will be the topic all week. And you have then a different nationalities, different groups. And you begin to talk about one another. And antagonisms and hates begin. This is the ignorant directions given to the mind. A politician will get up and he will give you ignorant directions to your mind, which causes separation and distrust and antagonisms between man and man. You go to church one Sunday and you'll hear a person talking about another religion. People who attend one church and another will pass each other on each side of the street. They won't even speak to one another. I know that. In Scotland, you can see it just as bad as there is in any part of the world. One man was excommunicated from the church because he drove his sheep on Sunday. Well, he didn't need the church anyhow, but the church needed him. So, you see, the boot is always on the other foot. You can see then how we are ignorantly directed. Our minds are ignorantly directed, and we can see then how our misery is created. That is because you can't think for yourselves. We formulate opinions, beliefs, which can be changed and are changed as new knowledge is revealed. But that which is changeable is not reality. The eternal cannot be changed, for he is ever present with us now. Yet we cannot realize this Till we have discerned that the changeable is not the real. So you have an idea in your mind of God, your idea changes. The Christian religion interpretation has changed so often that it's not the same religion at all. The teachings of Christ is the only thing that has remained stable, because it's the truth. But no one understands the truth because they all have ideas about it, and ideas are changing continuously. Therefore you see it is not the truth. Because if an idea changes, it's not the truth. Because the truth is unchangeable, and the truth is not an idea. It is an established fact that we improve by changing our fixed ideas of sickness and death to those of health and life. But even this is of the mind. One will say, think of health, and you will be healthy. But if you think of health, there is always the opposite. There is always the ill health. Why do you think of health? Because you are ill healthy. That's why you think of health. You wouldn't think of health if you weren't ill health. You didn't have ill health, you wouldn't think of health, would you? Because you'd be free. There's always the opposite in the mind. That's why you think of the opposite. Now you try to put the positive in the place of the negative. So you think of health, but ill health is there all the time. So you've got two ideas in conflict with one another, and the battle is going on in the mind. When you know what's in the mind is not true, is false, what you know is not real, it's your own creation, therefore it falls away. There is then the realization of that which is beyond the mind, when you know what the mind is made up of. Not until we understand what ideas are can we rise above them and thus be freed from them. These are figments of the mind. Reality does not know good or evil, sickness or death. Man alone creates these beliefs which bind them in sorrow and conflict. When we experience truth reality through understanding ourselves, we have no opinion about it. But what is an opinion about anything? It's just an opinion about it, but it's not it. You create a formulation. And the formulation of the mind is not a thing. It's not the thing itself. So therefore you have no opinion of it because you know. When you experience that which is beyond the mind, then you know. Although you do know what your body is made up of, you will know that the form is there for a specific purpose. But you will know the life, you, the consciousness that is you, that beyond the form, that beyond the mind, existed before the form, before Abraham, I am. Life existed before the body was created, and will exist after the body is dissolved into the substance out of which it was created. And that will be you, the real you, and that is what you find. You find after all the images, the ideas, the beliefs, the things that you create in your mind is discerned clearly and seen for what they are, then you reach that which is beyond the mind, which is now and always existing, because it is life, it is God. That is the reality. But the majority of people are afraid because they have an idea of death. They create an idea and they believe the idea. When we fear an idea, we cause it to condense so that it might be seen with the physical eye. Then we identify ourselves with the result and believe it to be a reality with all its horrible characteristics we produce in our mind. If we do not understand ourselves, how can we understand anything else? For the root of understanding lies within us. To understand myself, I must understand my relationship with others, my reactions, my fears, my antagonisms, my beliefs, etc. And how all these come about. When I understand myself, I will see why I act the way I do. I will see how I have been conditioned. I will see that I am reacting to protect my conditioning, or expressing my conditioning, my beliefs, my opinions, my fears, which all have the roots in my own mind. Look into your mind and see how you act. What do you say? You get annoyed. Why do you get annoyed? It is because you're conditioned, that's all. Because of your belief. You fight because you have a belief, and you fight for that belief. You even kill for that belief. But what is it? What is a belief? How does it come about? Everybody's got different beliefs, therefore it can't be true. Because truth is not divided, and truth is not a belief. Truth is a livingness in you and me. That's the only thing we have in common with one another. But that's the only reality there is. If my mind is controlled by my fixed ideas, my beliefs, etc., I'm already dead. There's no life in me. That's why Jesus said, let the dead bury the dead. But if my mind is flexible and free, I will surely enter the stream of life that carries us on to full maturity. In this way, I will understand my relationship with others, with the world. For in me, as in everyone else, is the whole. I am the result of the whole. Infinity. I am the result of infinity. There is nothing outside infinity. Infinity must be everywhere. There is nowhere where infinity cannot be. In the smallest particle of substance, infinity must be, because there is nothing outside infinity. And infinity must be everywhere in the smallest particle, in the very atom itself, in the very nucleus of the atom, in the very aetherion. So infinity must be there too. There is nowhere infinity is not. All is infinity. I am in infinity, infinity is in me. Jesus says, I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. This is the reality we have no opinion about, no doubts about. This understanding alone will bring about the necessary and vital change in the individual first, then in the world. For the world is what we are. If you look deeply into this, you will see that we make the world what it is. As we sow, so do we reap. And if the body is destroyed and passed away, dissolved in the substance of which it was created, the inner structure remains. There is an inner body to call the soul. The soul is the inner structure of the body. The soul is built first, the body is built afterwards. The soul remains after the body is dissolved away, because the soul leaves the body. Consciousness leaves the body, and with it, it takes its clothing. The soul is the clothing of the consciousness, and can move in space, too, with great activity, much easier than you can when you are in a body. The body is condensed into a lower vibration. You move about now with greater speed than you did a long time ago. You move through space at probably very soon 1,000 miles an hour. But the soul can move at the rate of light, 186,000 miles per second. And even greater speed than that we will travel when we understand the electromagnetic principle which is behind all creation. Look deeply into your minds and you will see that it is your thought feelings that make society what it is. Your thought feelings that make society what it is. Society is the projection of ourselves, and so is the world. Go to some of those meetings, those social meetings, and you will hear people talking about one another. They will say nasty things, but to the people's face, it's, "How do you do, dear? How are you, dear? We're very pleased to see you. No, you're looking lovely, you know." And the minute turn the back, it's so it is. Is that not true? So it is, so it is. When we are brutal, antagonistic, perverse, greedy, envious, we create in body and circumstances just what we are. To study oneself requires undeniable honesty and patience. And this is by no means easy, for it requires alertness and keen observation of every thought feeling, especially our motives and feelings towards others. That is when the echoing of our conditioning is seen, in our thought feelings towards others. If you are then aware of them, then the echoing of your conditioning is there. You can hear it, you can see it, then you can understand it. And you would see then what a hideous thing the self is. Why? Because you're living in separation. Otherwise there can be no true relationship. Only through true relationships can we gain our freedom and happiness. True relationship is truly a love relationship, where no one allows anybody else to say anything about anybody that is derogatory in any way. To feel them in that way, especially in that way, because that person is yourself. Our hidden self has taken years to build, yes, from infancy. And most of our motives are hidden beneath us, a series of misconceptions which we believe to be real and which is our conditioning. There is a whirl of activity, an inward confusion, resentment and prejudice, and we are torn by conflicting desires. We praise, we assert, we deny, we accept, we condemn, we reject, all because of this conditioning, of which we believe to be true. Not until we have seen how false it is and how it has come about can we be free from it. I always take my cue from the man of Galilee, although I might not follow in his footsteps always, but I know that he is my cue. And when I read what he says, I can see what was behind it. I could see when he said, "I am before Abraham." I could see what he meant there too. I could see that the eternal life, I am the Father and the Father in me. Therefore, Father being the eternal life, the eternal being eternal, it must be infinity. Because you cannot separate one particle of matter from the universe. You can't take one particle outside the universe. You can't separate anything from the universe, from the whole. It's impossible. And he saw that too. You could not separate even not a single consciousness from the totality of all consciousness. Because you could not even separate a particle of matter from the totality of all matter. He was clear in his thinking. because he was free. And clear thinking comes through freedom. You cannot think clearly if you're caught up in your conditioning, because your thinking will be merely your conditioning. But if your conditioning is dissolved away and understood, then your thoughts will become pure, and pure thinking comes through freedom. When we find ourselves caught up in our conditioning, we must slow down our thought-feeling reaction, like a slow-motion picture, to see what is happening on the surface. Then only can we study the movements of our mind. And as we study the movements of our minds, we will see what the mind is made up of. We will see what these movements are and how they come about. I'm giving you this great secret. Yes, the pearl of great price too. It is something more than idea in the mind, because an idea in the mind is not it. Everything I say to you is to eliminate from your mind all your ideas, your beliefs, the things that are hindering the expression of reality. When you believe a certain way, you must discern why you believe in that way. If you are antagonistic, you must discover why. If you disbelieve, you must deal with your beliefs in the same way. Belief and disbelief must be dealt with exactly the same, because they are both the same. A fellow came to me the other day for treatment. Somebody sent him along. I think he came along against his will anyway. He came to me and he said, "You know, I'm an atheist." I said, "You have another belief too, I suppose." I opened his mouth wide and, "Eh?" I said, "You have another belief?" "Yes, an atheism isn't just a belief, just like any other belief." He says, "You don't believe." "Well, believing and not believing is just the same. It's in the mind, isn't it? You'll never know what's beyond the mind when you live in your beliefs and your disbeliefs." He says, "But I haven't any faith." I says, "Neither have I. Not the faith that you've got, you're talking about. Your faith is fear." "What?" he said. I said, "Yes, your faith is fear. You're afraid. That's why you're an atheist. You're afraid. Look at you. You're suffering with your stomach. You're suffering with all your nerves. Look at you. You're jumping. You're all upset." I said, "What's wrong with you? You're conditioned. Who has done it? Yourself. You're caught up in yourself. You think you could have any faith in a mind like yours? Never. It doesn't come out of a mind like yours." He began to think and began to get well. And that's the only way you can deal with some people, is to tear them to bits. Tear their minds into scraps to show them exactly how they're conditioned. When he went away, I thought he wouldn't come back, but he came back all right. All right. Much better. Wants to know something more. All right. We'll learn more. More about what you know, so that you'll be able to know what you know. This doesn't mean a thing. He said, "I've read so many books." I said, "Yes, but you can read book after book, but that doesn't make any difference. And the books you read is according to your conditioning, isn't it?" He looked at me again. "Yes, according to your conditioning, according to your disbelief. So you read all the books." "To what?" "To confirm your conditioning. That's what you're doing. You only want to confirm your conditioning, to make it more real for you, when all the time it's a damn lie, the whole thing." And you will see the same too. You will see exactly that same way. Your mind will become clear, and you will realize what it is. You will see clearly. Never mind about the body. Jesus gave you it. He told you not to bother about the body, that life was the best, greater than anything. So, you see, that is the whole thing. Most people are caught up in their bodies. Most people are caught up in their minds. They're caught up in their conditioning. He who seeks to save his life will lose it, but he who gives up his life will retain it. Rejoice, knowing the self as the way to freedom, to reality. There is no escape, there is no other way. To merely control our thought feeling, to apply a brake to it, to merely say that this is wrong, that that is right, is a waste of precious time and effort. If we are merely engaged in controlling our thought feeling, there can be no understanding of it. It is the understanding of it that frees us, not controlling your thought feeling. And you say to yourself, no, I mustn't say that. Oh, I mustn't be angry. No, I must express love now. Oh, yes, I must express love. You hypocrite. That's all it is. Why? You don't mean to express love. You've got no meaning. You've got no hope of expressing love. Why? Because you're caught up in your antagonism. How many people have told me that you must express love? All the time they're boiling inside, hating, criticizing, condemning. Unless you see what you are doing, unless you understand why you're condemning, unless you understand why you're prejudiced, unless you understand why you're antagonistic, it's because of your conditioning. We merely engage in controlling our thought feeling, there can be no understanding of it. It is the understanding of it that frees it. If you desire to concentrate, you have already found out that your mind wanders. One thought is never finished before another jumps in. No thought feeling is ever finished or understood in this way. Trying to control or resist this wandering, instead of examining or understanding it, only makes you more thoughtless, narrow and petty, in an effort to protect your own condition. You only struggle to protect your ignorance. You don't struggle to protect the truth. You only struggle to protect your ignorance. You only struggle to protect your beliefs. You only struggle to protect your conditioning. The truth requires no protection, and you know it. When truth is known, the struggle ceases. You must look into your mind and see what is there. Then it slows down by itself. But if you force or analyze, you only create opposites. But if you discern every thought feeling without restraint, without comparison, without judgment of right and wrong, seeing completely what the mind is made up of, you will become aware of that which is unchanging, because you will have discerned all that is changing. That which is always there. It is eternal and ever present. You don't create unity. It exists now. You don't create life. It exists now. You don't create wisdom. It exists now. Then, how will these things come into being in you? By eliminating all that is hindering the expression of that which is. And that is by discerning, your conditioning, the things that are hindering the expression. Reality. You will become aware of that which is really significant, that which is real. Then follow this up with awareness of the real self, not as a separate self, but as the whole. This will lead to freedom, free from mental confusion, beliefs, opinions, and separation. You begin to know. Then you will give expression to reality, and not to your conditioning, which is stupid, petty, and narrow. This is being religious in the fundamental sense of the word, not dependent on any particular organized religion, for this will make you irreligious, which leads to separation and strife through your beliefs. If you look into your mind, you will see that you are responsible for separation, which is a cause of dissension, economic disaster, war, starvation, and oppression. Do not label yourselves with names, for are you not followers of the one life that is in all? We have names all over the place. This society, that society, everything else aside, this group, that group, and are they not all antagonistic to one another? When you understand this, you will understand him who showed mercy and compassion to all, who refused to be limited by any nation, church, or society. True religion is above all nationalities, above all creeds. It is the way to the realization of the one in all and the all in one. The way to peace and happiness and world prosperity and soul for the individual. When we all become truly religious in the true sense of the word, there will be peace in the soul, peace in the world as a result. We must have that inward peace, that wisdom and love of the Christ Spirit that is awakened in all souls that are free from separation. And is never awakened in the soul that is not free. It is only awakened in the soul that is free. If you are bound, the Christ consciousness cannot be awakened because you're still living in separation. There will not be the oneness, the love, the wisdom, because you are caught up in something external to yourself. These words of the Master sum up the ways of those who preach separation and creed. Yes, it is about you, you hypocrites, indeed. And Isaiah prophesies, as it is written, this people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far away from me. Vain is their worship of me, for their doctrines they teach are but human precepts. Here Jesus was showing the unreality of tradition and creed, which means so much to most people. People worship pomp, ceremony, tradition. It is all merely lip service where love and affection are sadly lacking, while antagonism, strife, and separation are in evidence. Right thinking goes beyond religion, creeds, and tradition, and nationalities. Right thinking is in freedom, while conditioned thinking is oppression. We see this daily, but few comprehend the danger in it. Most people are bound by nationalities, by religion, by politics, which they follow blindly, so like sheep they are led to the slaughter. Only through self-awareness do we discover our conditioned thought. Do we discover that we are merely copying another, that we have acquired a habit of thinking which is erroneous and disastrous to ourselves and others. Only when we are free do we see all these things in their true perspective. Then there is no confusion in the mind that has truly discerned what the mind is made up of. Only then, that which is eternal and ever-present is given free expression. He who has sent me is at my side. He has not left me alone, for I always do what pleases him. John 8:29. Benediction. I am that I am. On the many branches of my tree of life, I have sung my song in the hearts of men. My song was echoed in the green leaves. The souls who heard me realized their oneness with my life. Then my life alone was food to them. Yet through the centuries of time, my timeless state remained. That is why sleeping souls in the world of time can still awaken unto me. The rhythm of my song stirs the hearts awaiting to hear my voice calling, come into my cosmic freedom. So I arose and went. Thank you.